As Life Ebbs and Flows by Wandering Jedi Historian, read by Flower Parish. This is a Star Wars fic featuring the relationship Obi-Wan Kenobi / Quinlan Vos, rated for general audiences, and in which no archive warnings apply. This is part one of the Two Jedi and a Commander series.
Who said it's true? That the growing only happens on your own. They don't know me and you.
Coming to the temple as late as he did, given his years spent on Khifu, Quinlan had expected a struggle to settle in. He was different from the others, having known his parents for years, having started training for a purpose that didn't include the Jedi, and just for having psychometry. Yet his agemates never made him feel like he was different, at least not more so than the rest. It was comforting in a way that he hadn't realized he needed. Still, he wasn't the easiest of students and he knew it. He started a few fights over the years, to Master Tholm's disappointment. But as he grew in age and maturity and skill, that stopped too. Obi-Wan was, perhaps, the biggest surprise. Since Quinlan came to the temple already Master Tholm's student, he didn't spend time in the creche. He did, however, have classes with his agemates. He'd never forget the first time someone, whose name he hadn't even known, had rudely asked why he wore gloves so much. Obi-Wan, in his prim and proper Coruscanti accented voice, had declared, "It's rude to ask questions about other skills before you've even offered the courtesy of your name." He'd been about 10 at the time, and yet had sounded just like their diplomacy instructor. The other initiate had been flustered enough that they scurried away. Obi-Wan had been quite pleased with himself, and Quinlan had been happy the others were distracted. They'd been friends ever since. They might not always agree on everything, but they always had each other's backs. They didn't define it, this thing they had. Throughout their teens, it ebbed and flowed. They were each other's firsts. Together, they tried out many things. But they never made anything official, never declared exclusivity, though there were many points where they were. Quinlan had a fling with fellow Padawan Shyler for a time, and Obi-Wan had a crush on Ciri. Their friendship remained solid during those times, though when those both fizzled out, they found their way back to each other. Times they were both on Coruscant often involved shared beds, even as both of their masters reminded them of the choice they had to make. They could be together, but their duties had to come first. Both of them were determined to be Jedi, so they found their balance. Obi-Wan was honest about Satine when he returned from the year-long Mandalore mission. Quinlan wasn't upset at Obi-Wan developing feelings, though he was a little hurt that Obi-Wan would have left the Order for her, and he wouldn't have known anything about it until after. Quinlan took on more and more shadow work as he approached knighthood, which meant they had less time together than before. Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon had mission after mission, as Qui-Gon's skills were constantly requested. They drifted a little, those years as senior Padawans. They were in the same place less and less frequently. Whenever they were on Coruscant together, the pair did their best to make time for one another, but they both understood this was a good view of what the future would be. If they intended to make what they had work long-term, this was going to be the reality of their lives. Still, when Tholm knighted him, Quinlan's first call was to Obi-Wan. Sharing that knight with him felt right. Knight-slash-Padawan relationships had significantly more rules than relationships at any other point in a Jedi's life. It was allowed, provided the pair had been in a relationship while both were still Padawans. Every Padawan was ready for knighting at a different time, and the Order didn't believe in forcing a stable relationship to end just because one was ready for knighting sooner. A Jedi served the galaxy, but even they needed support. Some found that in a romantic partner. Some found it in solid friendships. Others had the support of very familial-feeling lineages. The life of a Jedi wasn't easy, and other Jedi understood it best.
"What if I'm not good enough to be her master?" Quinlan asked Obi-Wan. Or rather, he would have asked Obi-Wan had Quinlan's face not been smashed into his mattress at the time. He would dispute that he had flopped onto the other's bed dramatically. The Kiffar sat down normally and then just sort of toppled over. Totally not dramatically at all. Obi-Wan patted his side. "I have no idea what question you just asked the mattress, but I hope it has answers for you. the copper-haired Padawan said. Not bothering to lift his head, Quinlan flapped a hand at Obi-Wan in a sloppy approximation of a rude gesture. I'd be able to be more helpful if you talked to me and not my mattress, Obi-Wan pointed out. Unless you two would like to be alone. With a groan, Quinlan sat up and faced Obi-Wan. What if I'm not good enough to be her master? What if this is a bad idea? He asked, tone serious. The copper-haired Padawan's amusement faded, and he grew pensive. What is your greatest concern? Queried. Quinlan gave a faint smile. Of course, Obi-Wan was going to try to get him to talk about it, rather than just give him reassurances. Words were the other's thing. He was going to be one of the Order's best. Quinlan was sure of it. It just made him wish some others saw it as clearly as he did. I've had more than one master tell me I'm too young, and that I should spend a few years as a solo knight before taking a Padawan, he explained. I know that I'm meant to be her master. The bond is already there, I feel it. But what if they're right? What if I don't have the experience needed to be her master yet? Obi-Wan was quiet for a moment. Have you considered explaining to Ayla that you absolutely intend to take her as your Padawan, but you need a bit of time as a solo knight first? She has time, Quinn. She's barely 10. But she is also very intelligent. As long as she knows that you want her, and that you are working to make yourself the best master you can be for her, I think she'll understand. That gave Quinlan pause. He knew how important that part was, but had never experienced it the way Obi-Wan had. Quinlan had come to the temple already knowing that Master Thulm would train him. Watching Obi-Wan push himself harder and harder, and yet be passed over time and time again, had been the cause of many a conversation with his own master. Thulm had sensed his anger on Obi-Wan's behalf more than once, and had coaxed him through it. Obi-Wan's despair at being so unwanted still made Quinlan unreasonably pissed off at all of those masters if he thought about it long enough. If he could ask the Force such things, he'd demand to know why it felt Qui-Gon Jinn was the right teacher for Obi-Wan. The constant dismissing of Obi-Wan's foresight, the abandonment on Melida Dawn, the downright neglect after Tall died. Quinlan shut that line of thought down hard. Obi-Wan always got defensive of Qui-Gon's many failures, and Quinlan didn't want to get into that. You think so? The Kiffer asked instead. The other Jedi smiled. You two are meant to be a master-Padawan pair, I am certain of it, Obi-Wan stated. But that doesn't mean that this exact moment in time is right. Just make sure she knows she will be your Padawan if she wishes to be. Quinlan nodded thoughtfully. Perhaps Obi-Wan was right. A comforting hand came to rest on his shoulder. Would you like to stay here tonight? Obi-Wan asked. The Kiffar smiled and pushed away the last of his conflicted thoughts. Have I ever turned down a chance to get you into bed? He asked, with an exaggerated waggle of his eyebrows. Obi-Wan rolled his eyes, but didn't try to hide his smile. You are utterly ridiculous, and I should kick you out for that, he declared. Quinlan grinned. You won't. As he lay in Obi-Wan's bed that night, curled up with the other Jedi, his thoughts quieted, and everything felt right. How did the conversation with Ayla go? Obi-Wan asked the next afternoon. Quinlan rubbed the back of his neck sheepishly. Quinn. The Kiffar grimaced. I have a Padawan now, he stated. Obi-Wan ran a hand over his face. Of course you do, he replied. Quinlan straightened his shoulders. It was the right call, he declared. When I was standing there ready to talk to her, it just felt right to ask. That made Obi-Wan smile. I believe the masters call that following the will of the Force, he teased. Quinlan smiled softly. Yeah, I think they do. It was only belatedly that he realized that taking a Padawan meant that he would be at the temple more for a while. Ayla was worth it, he decided. And if it increased how often he saw Obi-Wan, that was a good benefit too. They started calling themselves partners on a consistent basis because having a word for it seemed like a good idea, once they had more time together again. Not much really changed along with it, but Quinlan did have to admit it was nice to be able to call Obi-Wan his partner and not mean it in a mission sense of the word. He also liked Obi-Wan's willingness to help however he could with Ayla. She was a wonderful Padawan, but it took more than just a single teacher to properly train a good Jedi. And Ayla was going to be an amazing Jedi, Quinlan was certain of that. So he wanted to make sure she had the best training he could give her. If he liked the way Obi-Wan looked at him when he said things like that, It was just an added bonus. Quinlan reached out along the shallow bond he and Obi-Wan shared the moment he saw Qui-Gon Jinn on Tatooine. He'd sent a probing, questioning thought to his partner. The response he received was the Force equivalent of a long-suffering sigh, and it told Quinlan all he needed to know. He reached out just enough to be sure that Qui-Gon took notice of him, but otherwise left it to the Master to decide if his help was needed or wanted. As he returned to Coruscant following his mission and learned of everything that had happened after, part of Quinlan regretted that. The more logical part knew it would have changed little. His help on Tatooine wouldn't have saved Qui-Gon on Naboo. He sent Ayla on her way to visit with her friends after being away from the temple for a time, cleaned up, and then headed directly to Obi-Wan. The emotions in those familiar quarters were nearly stifling. Quinlan pulled out his gloves and put them on. He didn't need them as often as he once had. Years of training and discipline had given him significantly better control of his psychometry. But everything was so strong in those rooms. "Quinn, I didn't hear you knock," Obi-Wan said quietly, looking up from where he had been sitting miserably on the couch. It looked like he had simply taken a seat, possibly after seeing Anakin off to a lesson or appointment, then simply stopped. Deciding a bit of normal was needed, Quinlan flashed a cheeky grin. "You hearing a knock would have required me knocking in the first place," he replied. A ghost of a smile met his words. "Should have known," Obi-Wan responded faintly. Without waiting for an invitation, Quinlan sat down next to him on the couch. "Come here, Oves," he said gently, slipping an arm around the other knight. A knight. Obi-Wan was a knight now. That was supposed to be a happy occasion. Instead, Obi-Wan was mourning. "I'm glad you're here," Obi-Wan whispered as he pressed close. "There's been so much happening." Quinlan had taken a Padawan young because it was right for him and Ayla. Obi-Wan had taken Anakin immediately because Qui-Gon had demanded it with his dying breath. Another reason Quinlan would never like the man. It wasn't fair to do to Obi-Wan, and it wasn't fair to Anakin either. But there was nothing he could do to change it. All he could do was make sure Obi-Wan got the support he needed, just like Obi-Wan had done for him. The other Jedi just needed to talk for a while. Quinlan listened patiently before coaxing him into laying down for a nap for a bit and getting something to eat. The Kiffar made sure there were sufficient leftovers, so Obi-Wan wouldn't have to think too much about food that night or the next day either. He had a feeling neither Obi-Wan nor Anakin were truly up to the temple refractories yet. Too much ongoing gossip. They would settle in time. Obi-Wan would heal. Anakin would adapt to life as a Jedi. After all, the kid was hardly the first to come to the Order late. Things would work out. The next decade was a blur of missions and teaching and growing. Next thing Quinlan knew, Ayla was ready for knighthood. He was beyond grateful that Obi-Wan was around the first few days and was able to stay with him. His quarters were far too quiet without Ayla around. More, longer missions followed. Obi-Wan struggled with Anakin's temper and pride, and Quinlan wished he had more answers to help. The war was a shock to them all. Quinlan wondered how none of his contacts had heard even the slightest whispers. He knew other shadows felt the same. They dealt more with the dark and shadowy corners of the galaxy than the other Jedi did. For none of them to have heard whispers of the creation of a clone army or the creation of a droid one, it rattled them, more than most wanted to admit. Quinlan could admit it made him withdraw a bit, throwing himself into his work. He regretted not being there for Obi-Wan when Anakin was knighted, but duty called, and they both understood that. Obi-Wan was given an entire system's army. It didn't surprise Quinlan in the slightest, for all that it did seem to surprise Obi-Wan. How busy his partner was provided an easy excuse for not staying in better touch. Then, Commander Cody started popping up more and more in Obi-Wan's occasional messages. It didn't take Quinlan long to realize Obi-Wan was falling in love with Cody. What did surprise him was how Obi-Wan reacted to having it pointed out. "I think he could be good for us, Quinn. For both of us. You'd see it if you got to know him." Quinlan put the thought out of his mind and focused on his work. Then he was summoned back to Coruscant to hunt for Zero the Hutt. He met Cody at the start of the mission and got to know him a bit when Obi-Wan's 212th Attack Battalion picked them up at the end of the mission. By the time they got back to Coruscant, Quinlan could only think one thing. Obi-Wan was right. The end.
When you're high, I'll take the lows. You can ebb and I can flow. And we'll take it slow and grow as we go. Ooh, grow as we go.